Everything spiraled out of control the moment his eyes met hers. Because when the bond pulls, there is no choice. No escape. Only surrender. He staggered down the corridor, his vision blurred, the floor tilting beneath him, his body betraying every step. The Alpha King never lost control. Never. But that night, someone had slipped something into his wine. And she only wanted to help him. She was there, kneeling, scrubbing the floor, invisible, as always. A simple servant, in the wrong place, at the worst possible moment. And the Alpha King lost control completely. The next morning, as it always does to the most vulnerable, the blame fell on her. Humiliated, accused, cast out.
I don't want to see her anymore.
She lost everything. Without knowing, she carried a secret that could change the entire kingdom. Years later, in the most unexpected way, a small pair of eyes found the most feared man in the kingdom. And, without fear, called him...
Daddy.
Don't say that. Say it again.
In the kingdom of Vaughn, inside a castle, a door was opened with more force than necessary. Kyle Draven entered his grandmother's chambers without knocking. She was seated by the window, as she always was. Posture straight, hands resting in her lap, with that calm that irritated Kale more times than he could count. Maron Draven was the only family he still had. He had neither father nor mother. Maron had ruled beside him since he was too young to bear the weight of a crown alone. And to this day, she handled his problems with a mix of serenity and quiet provocation.
I don't believe you are capable of this.
If I hadn't done it, you would never give me an heir.
That is not...
You distrust all women, Kale. You believe they all want something from you, beyond you.
Because that is exactly what happens. I am a king and an alpha. I know exactly what my position attracts.
Yes. Many are. That is true. But you must choose one of them, Kale. The kingdom needs an heir. You need an heir.
You spread it across the entire kingdom that I am looking for an heir. That I would pay a great amount in gold. That I would offer a lifetime contract to the woman who could give me that child.
I had no choice.
You always have a choice.
Not when my grandson has spent years driving away every woman who dares come near him. If I had not acted, you would remain exactly as you are, alone. And the kingdom would be left without an heir to all you have built. And I would very much like to still be alive to meet that child.
Two years earlier in the kingdom of Velmora, the corridor was far too quiet. Kale Draven moved through the stone passage with one hand braced against the wall, trying to find balance where there was none. How did this happen? He clenched his jaw, forcing himself to think clearly. When did someone tamper with my wine? The question burned more than anything physical. He was not the kind of man who was easily deceived. He was there as a guest, a gathering of kingdoms, diplomatic agreements, dinners that lasted longer than they should, surrounded by allies. Or at least, that's what he had believed. Someone did this on purpose. Awareness came slowly, heavy, and the clearer it became, the more his stomach churned. A mistake like this made no sense. He had never made a mistake like this. The sensation in his chest was not just the wine. It was something else. Something hotter, rising up his throat and spreading through his arms. Herbs. He knew enough about herbs to recognize he was under the influence of something that should not be in his body. Nina was kneeling in the middle of the corridor, a damp cloth in her hand. Most of the guests had already returned to their chambers after dinner, and she knew the main hall would be in the state she knew far too well. Overturned mugs, stains on the floor, the kind of mess no one who caused it ever had to face afterward. That day, the daughter of one of the counselors had fallen ill right there, in the corridor between the hall and the reserved chambers. She had vomited onto the stone floor before anyone could react. Wine, food, everything mixed together. And then she had been led away, staggering, by two maids. The corridor had been left behind with the sharp smell and the marks still on the floor. Nina had been called to clean it with a quick gesture. She kept scrubbing the floor in silence when she heard the footsteps, uneven, heavy, with a broken rhythm. Nina lifted her gaze and saw a tall man emerging from the corridor ahead. He walked with one hand against the wall. The torches lit his face at shifting angles, light and shadow trading places with every step. But she looked, and her heart raced. He was staggering through the corridor, and each step looked more difficult than the last. She rose before she could think. "Sir," she said, crossing the corridor quickly. "Careful." She caught his arm at the exact moment his body lost balance. His weight fell onto her immediately, and Nina had to plant her feet and use strength she didn't know she had to keep him upright. He was much larger than her, much heavier, but she held him. The heat coming from his body was intense, almost feverish. Up close, she caught the scent. Wine, yes, but something else mixed into it. Bitter. Herbal. Different from anything she knew. That's not just wine. Chambers. The word came out low, dragged. He tried to lift his arm. The movement was slow, heavy. In the end, he could only point toward the end of the corridor. Nina understood. There were chambers reserved for important guests in that wing. She had never entered any of them. "I'll help you," she said, repositioning his arm over her shoulders. They moved slowly. The heat of his body seeped through her clothes without effort. Nina kept her gaze forward, focused only on not letting him fall. When they finally reached the room, she pushed the door open with her free shoulder and helped him inside. He sat heavily on the edge of the bed, his hands braced on his thighs, his breathing deep and uneven. Nina lingered for a moment at the threshold, looking at the chamber. Stone walls, low-burning torches. A bed, dark blankets piled neatly. A basin of water on the dresser, prepared in advance. "I'll get a cloth," she said, already turning away. She dipped the fabric into the basin, wrung out the excess. When she returned to the bed, ready to help him lie down, the space was empty. Her heart stopped for a full second. She turned and heard the soft click of the door closing. He was standing between her and the exit. His posture was no longer the same as it had been minutes before. There was still something unsteady in his eyes, but his body was upright, his shoulders squared, and there was something in his expression she couldn't immediately name. When did he stand up? "Sir," Nina swallowed hard. I can't stay here. I have to finish my work." He took a step toward her. "No. One word. Just one." But the weight of it filled the entire room and lingered there, suspended like smoke. Nina shook her head. "I really can't, sir. It's late and—" "You're staying here with me." She opened her mouth to refuse again, but the words caught in her throat. There was something in his gaze that disarmed her without warning. It wasn't a threat. It was something else. Something she had never seen anyone look at her with before. As if he were seeing something that could not be ignored. "You're mine." Nina's world seemed to stop for a full second. She didn't understand. She couldn't understand. Those were words that made no sense. From a man who didn't know her, in a room she should not be in, on a night that had gone completely off track long before that moment. And yet, something inside her responded before she had the chance to stop it. Something deep, involuntary, rising from the center of her chest and making her breath tremble. Nina pressed her lips together, trying to name what she was feeling. "This isn't real. You're scared. It's just fear." His breathing began to steady. The tension in his shoulders eased slowly, as if something inside him were rearranging itself. But then his eyes changed. Nina saw it immediately. The color had vanished. The green eyes she had noticed in the corridor. And in their place was something golden, intense, almost luminous in the dim light of the room. She had never seen anything like it. The damp cloth slipped from her hand without her noticing. Her palms turned cold and clammy. Her breath caught. And there was something there, between them, in the empty space separating their bodies. Something Nina couldn't name and couldn't ignore. He noticed. Saw her reaction without her saying a single word. And stepped closer. Each step he took shrank the space Nina had to think. She instinctively stepped back, and her back hit the wall. There was nowhere left to go. "He's huge." The thought came fast, involuntary, almost inconvenient. "His shoulders are too broad to be real." He stopped at a distance, close enough that the heat of his skin reached her before any touch. Nina stood still, her heart pounding too loudly, trying not to look at his neck, at the open collar of his shirt that had shifted at some point during the night, at the arms now braced on either side of her, his palms flat against the wall. "Don't look at his arms. Don't look." She looked, and her heart raced even faster. The kiss came slowly. His lips against hers, warm, with a restrained firmness she hadn't expected. Nina froze for a second, her thoughts completely blank, her whole body tense against the wall. "I've never..." But her body responded before her mind could finish the sentence. Something inside her gave way, a tension she hadn't even realized she was holding, and her lips answered his almost without decision. One of his hands left the wall and found the side of her face. Slow, warm, far too large for the gentleness with which it settled there. Nina felt her own fingers clutch the fabric of his shirt, unsure whether she was trying to steady herself or keep him from pulling away. The kiss deepened, heavier now. "Why is my heart beating like this?" He murmured something against her lips, his voice low and rough, the words indistinct. But the sound of it, that voice so close, sent a shiver down her skin from her neck to her arms. The hand on her face moved slowly down her neck, over her collarbone, and settled at her waist with a firmness that made Nina hold her breath. He pulled her closer, away from the wall, and Nina felt his entire body against hers. The heat, the weight, the solidity of a body that had nothing fragile about it. His other hand found her hair, fingers threading slowly through the strands as he tilted his head and deepened the kiss even further. Nina closed her eyes. Her fingers, on their own, moved up across his chest, and she felt, beneath the fabric, the warmth of his skin and the tense muscles that did not yield to her touch. A shiver ran up her spine. "Don't think. Don't think now." But it was too late for that. There was something in the way he held her, firm without being rough, attentive without being calculated. that made all of Nina's thoughts slip into nothing. She had seen men in that castle her whole life. She had served drinks to nobles, cleaned corridors after dinners where they laughed loudly and gestured too much. She had never felt anything. This was different in a way she had no words to explain. The night that followed was neither quick nor quiet. It was long, heavy, filled with moments where they paused. A deeper breath, a look that lingered a second too long, and others where any pause disappeared completely. When exhaustion finally caught up with them, Nina lay awake for a time she couldn't measure, listening to his breathing deepen beside her. The stone ceiling of the room offered no answer to the question that wouldn't leave her mind. What did I just do? The next morning, the castle woke far too early for both of them. Heavy knocking echoed against the door. Insistent. The man beside Nina rose first, still covering part of his body with the sheet as he crossed the room. Nina remained in bed, disoriented, trying to piece together the fragments of the night before in the correct order. When the door opened, she heard voices. Nina sat up slowly and saw. Agnes's gaze went straight to the bed, and then her expression changed completely. The fury that took over her face had a quality Nina had never seen up close. Gilbert, the father, spoke first. His tone was far too polite to be sincere. He said he was very sorry to interrupt that morning, but there was something he needed to clarify about that servant, that she had a habit of slipping herbs into the drinks of noble guests, that it wasn't the first time, that she had taken advantage of the confusion during dinner to act, as she always did with important men who passed through, in order to gain something from them. Nina stood still for a moment. "That's a lie," she said, her voice coming out firmer than she expected. No one looked at her. Gilbert continued, said he could prove it. He gestured with his hand, and a guard entered from the corridor, crossed the room toward Nina's clothes folded over the chair in the corner. He searched through the fabric slowly, methodically, and then held out his open hand. Small fragments of crushed herbs. Dark, dry, with a scent Nina recognized because she had smelled it in that man's drink the night before. Only now they were in her own clothes, as if she had carried them from the start. "No," she said, now on her feet, her heart pounding too fast. "I never brought that. I would never..." "She's lying. She took advantage of you." She's done this with other nobles before, and had already been warned that if she did it again, she would be dismissed. Agnes said, her voice both sweet and cutting at the same time. Nina looked at the man standing near the door, and for the first time since that morning had begun, he looked back at her. His eyes were green again. The gold from the night before was gone. There was something else there, an expression that hit her in the chest before she could fully understand it. Disappointment. He believes them. "I never did this," Nina said again, holding his gaze. "I was cleaning the corridor. You were staggering alone and I helped you. That's all. I brought nothing. I put nothing in your drink." The silence that followed was unbearable. He looked at her for far too long. His expression did not change. Then he looked away. "I don't want to see her again," he said, his voice cold and distant. His words hit like a physical blow. The man gathered his clothes and walked out, the sheet still wrapped around his body as he headed into the corridor. Nina was left shattered, wrapped in the sheet. Agnes stepped closer, her posture flawless, chin lifted, eyes cold. "Gather all your belongings in this castle," Agnes said, without raising her voice, but with a firmness that left no room for argument. "I don't want you here anymore." "I didn't do anything. I swear." Nina's voice came out low, broken. "I want you gone before nightfall," she said over her shoulder, already walking toward the door. That night, Nina never learned his name. She never understood why she gave herself so easily to a stranger, nor why Princess Agnes accused her the way she did. But deep down, something inside her whispered that none of it had been coincidence. Maybe. It had always been the plan. And then it was over. Nina was out on the street, jobless and accused of something she hadn't done. Survive. That was the only thing she knew how to do. So that's what she did. She found work in a tavern. The months passed quickly. Nina saved every coin as if it were her last, after exhausting days, because something had changed. She was pregnant. The boy was born on a cold morning, in a small room at the back of a shack. And when she held him for the first time, Nina felt something she couldn't name. It wasn't just love. It was bigger, more frightening. It was the absolute certainty that that small life was now everything. She named him Ethan. Ethan grew fast. Too fast. Nina learned to be a mother between shifts, feeding him before leaving, leaving him with the neighbor, rushing back to the tavern as soon as she could. The woman helped as best she could, but the weight never left Nina's shoulders. The guilt. The anxiety. The constant fear of not being enough. One afternoon, while feeding him mashed pieces of papaya, the neighbor brought news. There were openings in a castle in the kingdom of Varen. Better pay. Better conditions. A chance. They won't want someone like me, Nina replied immediately. You didn't even try. I don't even remember what it's like to work in a place like that. After everything. The neighbor looked at her for a moment. Firm, direct. Nina, you have a son. You don't have a man. You don't have anyone. You can't choose to stand still. The silence came heavy, because she knew she was right. 2 days later, Nina left the kingdom of Velmora. She left without looking back, with few clothes, and Ethan in her arms. Her destination was Varen. The neighbor's cousin had lived there for years. Her name was Ruby, and she was the only person who could help her at that moment. It wasn't much, a simple place to stay, someone who knew the streets. But it was already more than Nina had. The castle of Varen was larger than the one she had served in before. Taller, with corridors that seemed endless. But Nina got a job as a maid in the first week. Ethan stayed with Ruby during the day. Nina paid what she could, worked as much as necessary, and every night walked the path between the castle and the small shack in the village to feed her son. It was exhausting. But it was the best she had had in 2 years. That day, Nina was assigned to clean one of the oldest chambers in the castle. She worked in silence, as always. Changed the sheets, smoothed the heavy covers, arranged the pillows with the same care she put into everything. When she was finishing, she realized she was no longer alone. An older woman was sitting in a chair by the window, watching. Nina immediately lowered her head. I'm sorry, ma'am. I should have come at another time. There's no problem at all, the woman replied, with genuine calm. You may work here whenever you like. No, ma'am. Nina folded the cloth in her hands, embarrassed. My job is to be in the rooms when the nobles aren't here, so I don't disturb them. She gave a small curtsy and hurried out into the corridor, trying to disappear as quickly as possible. She turned the corner without looking and ran straight into someone. The man's hands caught her by the arms before she could fall. A quick, firm reflex. For a moment, they were very close, and Nina, still disoriented from the impact, looked up. And the world stopped. And then she saw his eyes. Golden. Intense. The same eyes she had seen more than 2 years ago, in a room where she should never have been, on a night she had tried to forget with everything she had. The memory came back like a blow. A sheen of sweat broke across her forehead. Nina swallowed hard. He doesn't remember. He can't remember. To him. It was just one night. But his voice came, low and controlled. I thought I made it clear I didn't want to see you again. Nina tried to hold herself together, but it wasn't possible. The air left her lungs the moment she saw him. That man. From that night. The father of her child. No. It can't be. Her heart raced so hard that for a moment she was sure he would hear it. A bead of sweat ran down her temple. She swallowed. I'm sorry, sir. Her voice came out unsteady, almost unrecognizable. I didn't see you. I think you've mistaken me for someone else. He let out a low laugh. Cold, mocking. Sir? He repeated, tilting his head slightly. Your Majesty. The world stopped. Nina froze. What? Slipped out before she could stop it. He took a step forward. You come to work in a castle, without knowing who your king is? The blood drained from her face. Forgive me, Your Majesty, she said too quickly, nearly tripping over her words. I heard about the position, and came. I really need the money. Silence. He watched her. His brow lifted slowly. Suspicious. Of course, he said at last, his voice low. The money. His gaze lingered on her for a second too long, as if he were trying to see beyond. Then he stepped away. You may work here. But do me a favor, he continued, without looking back. Don't appear in front of me again. And he left. Nina remained where she was, frozen in shock, one hand pressed to her chest, trying to steady her breathing, her gaze fixed, unblinking. On the other side of the corridor, Kale walked without looking back, but he had stopped breathing normally from the moment he grabbed her arms. The scent. He had felt it instantly, before recognizing her face. That specific scent, etched into his memory. The scent of the woman the moon goddess had chosen for him. But also the reason he believed all women were opportunists. That none would ever truly love him. Not even his mate. And now she was here, making everything even more unbearable than it already had been. But this isn't a coincidence. The thought hardened inside him as he walked. The news of the heir had spread across the entire kingdom. It's obvious what she wants. To try once more to deceive me. His jaw tightened. Not this time. Nina rushed down the corridor, her heart racing, her hand pressed to her chest as if that could somehow help. It didn't. The image kept spinning in her mind. Those golden eyes. She had noticed them from the very first day. He is the Alpha King. He wasn't a visiting noble. He wasn't an important guest passing through. He was the King of Varen, the same man she had spent that one night with. Ethan. Her son's name hit her like another blow. And then everything began to make sense. The accusation, the herbs, the way she had been cast out. The princess wanted the king. Damn it. How could I have been so stupid? If Kale found out, everything would collapse at once. He would never believe she had ended up there by accident. After what had happened. After everything he believed she had done. The last thing Kale Draven would ever do was believe she didn't know who he was. He'll think it's another scheme. He'll always think that. And he could never hide what she was hiding. Nina decided she would save as many coins as she could working there and disappear to another place to start over again. That was the plan. She left the castle as soon as she finished her tasks for that shift, her mind still far too unsettled. From the very first day of work there, she had made a decision she carefully maintained. She would not stay in the servants' quarters inside the walls. Most preferred to sleep in the castle during the week. It was more practical, and no one had to face the cold morning walk. But Nina couldn't go a single night without seeing Ethan. She couldn't, and she wouldn't. So she walked. Every day, whether early or late, whether she was exhausted or not, she made that distance between the castle and the small shack in the village where Ruby lived. That night, when she pushed the door open, The boy was in the woman's arms, his wide eyes open, completely awake. When he saw Nina enter, his face changed. Pure recognition. She took him into her arms before even removing her coat. She sat down in the chair and let Ethan nurse, her head resting against the wall, feeling her entire body slowly release the tension that had built up throughout the day. "Nina," Ruby said, with that direct honesty that carried no malice at all. "You need to start leaving milk for him during the day." Nina opened her eyes. "He was hungry today," the woman continued. "He's starting to eat a few things, but he's still too small to go that many hours without feeding. You need a way to make sure of that while you're at the castle." "I know. I'll do that," she said quietly. Ruby nodded and said nothing more. The next morning, Nina returned to the castle trying to act as if nothing had happened in the corridor the day before. It wasn't working very well, but she tried. As soon as she reached the service quarters, she discovered that that night would be different from all the others. There would be a grand dinner at the palace. Important guests were arriving, nobles from neighboring kingdoms, agreements to be sealed, and every available servant would be summoned. Maids, footmen, anyone who could lend a hand would have a role that night. The housekeeper passed along all the instructions to the castle staff. Nina would be assigned to serve wine in the main hall. She nodded when she received the order, but her stomach turned. Then she heard the name, spoken by one of the maids in a low voice. The name of the princess who would be among the guests that night, arriving alongside her father to try to secure an alliance with the King of Varen. An alliance everyone in the corridors already knew what it meant. Agnes wanted to marry him. Just like all the noble women who were arriving. Ever since the king's grandmother's announcement. The promise of a wife, of an heir. Nina stood still for a second, her hands resting on her apron. Agnes. Panic came fast, but a more immediate urgency pushed it aside. Ethan would go the entire night without milk. With the dinner, she wouldn't be able to leave before the end of her shift, and the baby couldn't go that many hours without feeding. Nina spent the day thinking about how she would manage it while preparing the guest chambers, until she made a decision. She stepped inside, closed the door of the room she was cleaning, and took out a small container she had picked up from another chamber. The idea was simple. Express the milk there, find a servant heading toward the village before the dinner began, and ask them to deliver it to Ruby's shack. She worked quickly, focused. But then she felt a presence behind her. Her entire body tensed before she even turned around. There had been no sound to justify that feeling, but it was real, immediate, and came before anything else. Almost on instinct, Nina brought her hands to her dress and adjusted it quickly, as if she needed to compose herself before facing whatever it was. Then she turned sharply, and in the sudden movement, the container slipped from her hand. The milk spilled. It splashed upward, outward, and straight onto the man standing in the doorway behind her. Some drops hit his face. Others ran down his chest, his bare chest. Nina froze completely. The man was shirtless, wearing only a towel around his waist, his torso exposed, his hair slightly damp as if he had just stepped out of a bath. And he was looking at her, with a restrained expression, almost silent, as if it said, without needing words, "You again." "No." The thought came instantly. "No, it can't be." "I'm so sorry. I was just trying to handle something quickly. I didn't know Your Majesty was here." "What exactly?" he said, his voice low. "Are you doing here?" Nina finally lifted her eyes to face him, and that was when she realized. She was in his chambers. Her stomach dropped. She had thought the room was empty. How could she have been so careless, so distracted? For a second, all she could think was, "How did I get myself into this again?" Kael Draven stood one step away from her, milk running down his chest, looking at her with those eyes she couldn't hold for long without feeling something she shouldn't feel. And the problem was, she was looking. His broad shoulders, his firm chest, the line of his jaw as he watched her with that restrained calm that was somehow more unsettling than anger would have been. Stop looking at him. She dropped her gaze to the floor. Is this your milk? He said, more as a statement than a question. Without breaking eye contact, he touched a finger to his face, caught one of the drops, and tasted it. The silence that followed was heavy, and his gaze became even harder to withstand. It's not mine. Her voice came out strange. It's cow's milk. That is definitely not cow's milk. It is, she said too quickly. You're testing my intelligence. No, sir. Nina could hear how absurd it sounded and still couldn't stop. It's cow's milk. I brought it from home. Sweat began to slide down her temple. Her hands trembled slightly around the empty container, and she pressed her fingers against the cold metal, trying to hide it. Kael remained silent for a moment, his gaze shifting between the container and her face. Why would you bring cow's milk into my room? Think. Think now. I'm addicted, Nina said. The silence that followed had a very specific quality. Kael raised an eyebrow. Addicted, he repeated. To cow's milk. Nina pressed her lips together. It's a personal habit. He stared at her for a length of time she couldn't measure, and there was something in his eyes that flirted with amusement before closing off again. Nina looked away, and made the mistake of letting her gaze drift over his torso, where the milk had run across his skin. She looked away again immediately, feeling the heat rise in her face. So what were you doing in my room instead of attending to the other chambers? He asked. Nina thought fast. He's never going to believe this. Damn it. She swallowed hard, trying to look normal. It has to be convincing. Something simple. Something he won't question. Something that makes him stop asking. I was here to seduce you, she said, with a conviction she did not have. Silence again. Different this time. Kael stood completely still for a second. Her eyes met his for a brief moment, and Nina immediately looked away, the heat in her face now uncontrollable. I apologize, she said quickly, already turning away. I won't try again. It was a mistake. It won't happen again. And she left the room before he could say anything. In the corridor, she pressed her forehead against the cold wall. Addicted to cow's milk. She closed her eyes. I can't do anything right. Kael remained standing in the middle of his room after she left, the milk still on his chest, wearing an expression no one in the kingdom would have recognized on him. Then he wiped his face slowly with the cloth on the dresser. Something inside him that had been quiet for years stirred briefly before he forced it back down where it belonged. No. He knew exactly what that was. A different approach. Closer. More personal. Harder to ignore. And he had almost let it work, which was the part that bothered him most. I won't fall for this. But her scent lingered in the room, and that was the kind of thing he couldn't simply choose to ignore. The main hall was already full before the principal guests even arrived. Nina had taken her place among the other servants, a pitcher of wine in her hands, instructed to keep the goblets filled without being called. Agnes entered the hall. The princess arrived beside Gilbert with the posture of someone who knew exactly how much space she deserved to occupy. Her clothing was elaborate, her smile calculated, and her eyes swept across the room in a way Nina immediately recognized. She's looking for him. Nina lowered her gaze and moved toward the far side of the hall, holding the pitcher in front of her body as if that were enough protection. If Agnes recognized her, the job would end right there. She served wine with her eyes fixed on the goblets, the tables, anything that wasn't the princess's face. On the other side of the hall, Kale sat where the situation required, between two counselors discussing matters he wasn't paying attention to. Agnes had positioned herself close enough to be noticed, and far enough to seem unintentional. He knew that move. He knew all of those moves. What hadn't been part of the plan was the moment when, without searching, his eyes found Nina crossing the hall with the wine pitcher, her face slightly lowered, moving along the edges as if trying to be invisible. Kyle looked away immediately. After a moment, he looked back. She had stopped near one of the side columns, serving a guest. "Stop," he told himself. "Don't complicate this." He turned his attention back to Agnes and did not look at Nina again for the rest of the dinner. Nina, in turn, spent the entire evening unable to confirm whether she had been seen or not, and that uncertainty was worse than any certainty would have been. When the hall finally began to empty, she handed over the pitcher, gave her departure curtsy, and disappeared down the service corridor before anyone could call her back. The next morning, the corridor in the guest wing was the last place Nina wanted to be. But there were rooms to clean, and two of them belonged to the new guests. She worked quickly. When she finished and turned the corner, she was already thinking about the next room. "You." The voice stopped Nina mid-step. She didn't turn immediately. For a second, she pretended to herself that it might not be directed at her. "I know you heard me. Agnes." Nina kept walking, faster now, her eyes fixed on the end of the corridor. Footsteps behind her quickened. "Stop right now." Nina didn't stop. She turned the corner, scanning for an exit, an open door, anything. And then the footsteps behind her broke into a run, the silk of Agnes's skirt striking the stone floor with an urgency that was not befitting a princess. Nina was already running, her heart racing, her breath short. A hand reached out from inside a room and pulled her in. The door closed silently. In the corridor, Agnes's footsteps passed right by. Silence. Nina stood in the dark, trying to catch her breath, her heart pounding against her ribs. Slowly, her eyes adjusted to the dim light coming through the window. She turned. Kale was behind her. Neither of them spoke for a moment. Nina's breathing was still uneven from the run, and the closeness of that small, enclosed room created an atmosphere she didn't know how to place. The space between them was too small. She felt the heat radiating from him before any touch, and there was something in that particular silence that pulled them closer, without either of them moving. His eyes dropped briefly to her lips, before lifting again. So quickly, Nina wasn't sure if she had seen it or imagined it. "Thank you," she said softly, "for getting me out of her way." Kale took a slow breath. His gaze shifted slightly, not away from her, but toward something happening inside him that she had no access to. "Return to your duties," he said at last. Nina gave a small curtsy and left the room, leaving behind a silence heavier than any words could have been. 2 days passed, and those 2 days were the worst Kyle had experienced inside his own castle in a long time. The castle was full of people he had not invited by choice. More kept arriving. Nobles, influential families, even some high-born shifters. Women appeared with rehearsed smiles and conversations clearly prepared in advance. All a direct consequence of what his grandmother had done. And he knew there was no undoing it without creating an even greater scandal than the one that already existed. Agnes remained in the castle, increasingly determined, attending every dinner, every walk in the garden, every conversation in the hall, as if building an argument he would eventually accept out of exhaustion. Kale breathed deeply, huffed under his breath, and rolled his eyes whenever he could do so, without anyone of importance noticing. He maintained a facade of politeness, because the situation demanded it. But inside, the irritation was constant, low, and persistent. And there was something that irritated him even more than all of that. Nina, the opportunist. And yet, he continued allowing her presence in the castle. Wherever he was, he found himself noticing when she passed through the corridors, when she looked away or tried to hide among the other servants, as if it were possible to be invisible to him. But it wasn't. It was impossible not to see her. No matter how much they avoided each other, no matter how hard they tried not to cross paths, something always pulled them back, like a magnet, as if fate refused to leave them alone. The next day, Nina was leaving a room she had just finished cleaning when a voice reached her. "Finally," Agnes said, her voice smooth, as if she had all the time in the world. "I was wondering where you had hidden yourself." "I think you're mistaking me for someone else," Nina said, trying to keep walking. Agnes's hand closed around her arm before she could take two steps. "I'm not." Her voice had changed. Lower now, sharper. "I know exactly who you are. You showed up here as soon as the news spread, didn't you? How convenient." "I don't know what you're talking about." "I think you do." Agnes didn't release her arm. "What exactly are you doing in this castle?" Footsteps echoed through the corridor before Nina could answer. Agnes released her immediately and turned, composing her expression with impressive speed. Kale stopped a few steps away, his gaze shifting from Agnes to Nina and back again. "Is there a problem?" "None at all, of course." Agnes gave a light curtsy, her smile back in place. "I was simply speaking with this girl." She paused deliberately before continuing. "Do you not remember her, Your Majesty? She served in my castle a few years ago. She was the one who put herbs in your wine that night, and then took advantage of the situation while you were out of your senses. I thought you should know you are keeping this woman within your own corridors." Nina stood frozen, the blood draining from her face. Kale looked at Agnes for a moment. Then his eyes moved to Nina, and stayed there a second too long, with an expression Nina couldn't fully read. Then he looked back at Agnes. "As far as I know," he said, with a calm that was more intimidating than any raised voice, "she is a servant of this castle, which means any issue now is mine." "Shouldn't you be resting?" Kyle asked, with a politeness so firm there was no room for interpretation. "It's been a long day." The princess calculated for a moment, then turned and walked down the corridor with her usual impeccable posture, though Nina clearly noticed the stiffness in her shoulders. Nina took the moment to excuse herself and turn away. "Wait." Kale's hand closed around her wrist, guiding her toward his chambers. Nina stood in the middle of the room as he closed the door, her hands slightly damp, trying to arrange her thoughts into a straight line that refused to form. "You need to stop getting yourself into trouble," he said, beginning to pace the room with that contained energy. "You were almost exposed by the princess. If she has any real reason to complain about you to the court..." The question came out before she could stop it. Kale stopped. He looked at her for a moment, and there was something different in his gaze, far from the coldness he had shown before. It wasn't exactly softness, just as if, for a moment, he had lowered the guard he always insisted on keeping. "Do you have somewhere to go if you lose this job?" he asked at last. Nina lowered her head. She didn't answer. The answer was in the silence. "Then make use of the opportunity you have," he said, "and don't create problems for yourself." Nina nodded several times, too quickly. "Yes, sir. I'm sorry. It won't happen again." She gave a curtsy and turned to leave. His hand caught her arm before she reached the handle. "Wait." His voice had changed. Lower. Less controlled. Nina froze with her hand in the air, not turning yet. When she finally did, she saw his eyes. Golden. That intensity she had seen before was back with a clarity that knocked the ground out from beneath her. "Didn't you say," he spoke slowly, "that you wanted to seduce me?" Nina went still, No. She thought, no. The words hung in the air with a weight Nina felt in her chest before she fully understood them. Kale watched her in silence, unable to endure it any longer, and Nina seemed to unravel every defense he had. Sir, I wasn't... You said it. His voice was barely above a whisper, his eyes fixed on her. If it was true, then show me. If I step back now, he'll start questioning everything else. Nina took a deep breath and stepped toward him. Then another. When she was close enough, she lifted her face and kissed him. The kiss began tense, her lips on his with a hesitation she couldn't hide, her heart pounding far too fast. For a second, neither of them moved. And then his arms wrapped around her. He pulled her against his body with a firmness that stole the air from her lungs, one hand at her waist, strong and secure, the other sliding up her back to her shoulders. The kiss changed. The hesitation vanished from both sides at once, replaced by an intensity Nina was not prepared to face. Stop, she thought. But her fingers had already found the fabric of his shirt, holding on. He lifted her with a surprising ease, his hands finding her thighs, and Nina instinctively wrapped her legs around him to steady herself. The movement pulled them even closer, and Nina felt his entire body against hers in a way that erased any coherent thought. They reached the bed without either of them consciously deciding it. She remained in his lap, her knees on either side of his thighs, and the kiss continued. Deeper now, more honest than either of them had intended. His hand moved into her hair, fingers threading through it with a gentleness that contrasted everything else, while his other hand moved slowly up her back, fingertips pressing lightly against her ribs, against the thin fabric of her clothing. Nina let out a small, involuntary sound, and that sound brought her back. She pulled away, her breathing completely unsteady, her hands now pressed flat against his chest, not pulling him closer, but not pushing him away either. I'm sorry, she said, her voice rough in a way she hadn't planned. I shouldn't have done that. Kyle went still for a second, his breathing just as uneven as hers, his eyes still that intense gold. Then he turned his face away and let out a heavy breath. His hands released her. Nina slid off his lap, adjusted her clothing, and stood in the middle of the room. She gave a curtsy without lifting her gaze, and left. The corridor felt cold after the heat of that room, and Nina walked too quickly, her hand on her chest, trying to understand what she had just done. The answer didn't come. And Ethan was waiting for her in the small shack in the village, completely unaware that both their lives depended on Nina managing to keep those two worlds apart. You need to stop this, she told herself as she walked. Seriously. You need to stop. Nina was nearing the end of her shift when the gardener found her. This is for you, he said, handing her a small folded piece of paper. Her chest tightened even before she opened it. Come to the back of the kitchen. Now. It's urgent. Ruby. The world seemed to shrink. Nina didn't think. She just went. She moved through corridors, down staircases, avoiding glances, until she reached the farthest part of the castle where the smell of food and burning wood masked any suspicious movement. Ruby was there, and she wasn't alone. Ethan was crying in her arms. Nina felt her chest tighten. What happened? She asked, already rushing toward them. Ruby looked pale, exhausted, her eyes heavy, her breathing uneven. I tried, she said, her voice hoarse. I swear I tried. Nina immediately took Ethan into her arms, pressing her son against her chest as if she needed to confirm he was really there. He won't stop crying, Ruby continued. The milk. It's not enough. He misses you. The guilt hit like a blow. Nina looked away, swallowing hard. She had pulled away. the days at the castle, the event, the constant fear of being seen. All of it had distanced her from him more than it should have. There's more. Ruby took a deep breath, holding back a cough. The village is sick. Everyone. I am too. Nina lifted her eyes, alarmed. It's bad, Ruby went on. Fever. Cough. I'm afraid he'll catch it. Nina held Ethan tighter. His small body felt too warm. Or maybe that was just her panic. I can't keep him, Ruby said with difficulty. Not like this. Nina looked around, her heart racing. The castle. The place she most wanted to keep him away from was now the only safe place. She closed her eyes for a moment, took a deep breath. I'll figure something out, she said, more to herself than to Ruby. Nina managed to keep Ethan in the castle that night, hidden in one of the servants' rooms, a simple space that had already been assigned to her, though she had only started using it in recent days because of the event. There, away from the cold of the village and the risk of illness, she kept him close, in silence, as if she could protect him from the entire world. Ethan eventually fell asleep in her arms, clinging to her chest. The next morning, Nina made a decision. She couldn't leave the job, and she couldn't leave her son in the village. So she did the only thing left. She decided to hide him. She knew every corridor in that castle, which ones were busy early in the morning, which guards avoided, which doors creaked. She found the room she was looking for in the east wing, a small, rarely used guest chamber, empty since some visitors had left, after their ladies had been dismissed by the king. She entered, closed the door carefully, and set up a small safe corner on the floor, over a thick rug in the corner. She placed Ethan there with the folded blanket she had brought from home, left beside him pieces of soft bread he could already chew, and stayed kneeling in front of him for a moment. Stay here quietly, she said softly. I'm nearby. Ethan looked at her with those big, serious eyes he had when he was paying close attention, and then stuffed the bread into his mouth with a determination that made Nina feel something between relief and pain. She stood, adjusted her apron, and went back to work. The day was long, each finished task giving way to another, and Nina checked on Ethan every 5 minutes, already exhausted from running back and forth. Just for today, she tried to tell herself. But the truth came right after. If Ruby didn't recover soon, she wouldn't be able to keep hiding Ethan there. Nina took a deep breath. It was time to leave. Time to find another job in a tavern, before everything collapsed again. Nina had just finished cleaning one of the rooms, and was heading back when she heard footsteps behind her, too fast to be a coincidence. She didn't even manage to fully turn around. She smelled it first, something bitter, concentrated, burning her nostrils before she could react. Then she felt the heat in her eyes, her cheeks. The ground rushed toward her before her legs gave out. The last thing Nina heard, still conscious enough to process it, was Agnes's voice. Cold, satisfied, final. Take her away. Kyle was walking through the east wing corridor when he stopped. There was no sound to justify the pause. No visible movement, no voice, none of the things that usually drew attention. It was something else. A sensation he knew well enough not to ignore, that instinct he had learned to trust before learning anything else. There was a scent. Different. Strange. And at the same time, deeply familiar in a way he couldn't understand. Kyle stood still for a moment, letting his instinct work. Then he began walking slowly down the corridor, following that feeling without overthinking it, passing one door and then another until he stopped in front of one. He pushed it open. The room was small, rarely used. He had noticed it before, but had never had a reason to enter. Now there was a folded blanket on the floor, in the corner, and on it, a baby who looked at him with the most serious eyes Kale had seen in a long time. He stood in the doorway for a second. The boy didn't cry. Didn't startle. He just watched him with that strangely calm expression, as if assessing him. Kyle stepped into the room slowly and crouched down near the child. Up close, the scent was stronger. And that was what had led him there. That specific scent he had noticed in the corridor, and that now made sense in a way he wasn't yet ready to fully name. He picked the boy up. The child allowed it, without complaint, small fingers gripping Kale's clothing. Kale stared at that face for a long moment. And then the child's eyes met his. Something inside Kale stopped completely. It wasn't a thought. It wasn't a conclusion reached by logic or evidence. It was something else. Deeper. Older. This boy is my son. The realization came all at once, without warning, without transition. Kale stood motionless for a moment he couldn't measure, the child in his arms and that certainty spreading through him like something that had always been there, and had only now found the right name. And then the memories came. That night, 2 years ago, the corridor, the room, the single night he had spent with Nina before everything collapsed the next morning, and then more recently, the image of her in his chamber holding that container, the milk spilling, her face too flushed to be just embarrassment. Cow's milk. The thought came with a painful irony. Kyle closed his eyes for a second. He held the boy closer against his chest, slowly, and the baby allowed it, without protest. Tiny fingers curled into the fabric of his clothing, as if they already knew exactly where they belonged. Kyle held his breath for a second. And then, almost like a dragged whisper, still confused, still learning the word, Daddy. The world stopped. Kyle's eyes faltered. He didn't move. Couldn't. That word hit straight into his chest, cutting through everything. Doubt, anger, pride, everything. His eyes filled without warning. And for the first time in years, the Alpha King didn't look like a king. Just a man, holding his own son. She hid this from me. The fury came slowly, but it came. All this time, Kale stepped into the corridor with the baby in his arms and stopped the first servant he saw. "Where is Nina?" he asked, his voice low and controlled, in the way it became when he was more angry than he wanted to show. The man stared at the baby for a second, before answering that he hadn't seen her in the past few hours, that she was probably somewhere in one of the wings of the palace. "I want to speak to her now," Kyle said. "Find her." He continued through the corridor, stopping other servants, receiving answers that didn't satisfy him. The baby in his arms remained quiet at times, at others looking around with that same serious curiosity Kale had already noticed, and had unwillingly recognized as something familiar. Turning a corner in the central wing, he ran into his grandmother. Marin Draven stopped when she saw him, her gaze immediately dropping to the baby, and she went completely still for a second Kale knew well. It was the second when she was processing something she already understood, but was allowing to settle. "This boy," she said, her voice lower than usual, "is your son." It wasn't a question. Kale confirmed it with a look. His grandmother's eyes filled before she spoke again. She extended her arm slowly, with a visible longing she didn't bother to hide, and Kale placed the child into them. Marin looked at the baby for a long moment, with an expression he had rarely seen on her. It wasn't just joy, it was relief. The kind of relief of someone who had waited far too long for something. "How is this possible?" she asked at last, lifting her eyes to him. "I'm still trying to understand," Kyle replied. "I need to find Nina." "Nina." His grandmother repeated the name with immediate recognition. "The girl who cleans my room every day." "Yes." Marin looked at her grandson for a moment before speaking. "She's a good girl, always very careful." She paused. "Go find her. I'll stay with him," Cal was already turning when her voice reached him again. Cal. She waited until he looked back. Be careful with what you say when you find her. He didn't respond. No one knew where Nina was. Kyle searched the entire castle, stopping servants in every corridor, receiving answers ranging from uncertainty to discomfort, until one of the men, an older servant who worked in the East Wing, hesitated before speaking. He said he hadn't seen Nina inside the castle, but he had heard something. That some of the servants had commented earlier about two men carrying a woman out through the side gate, with a sack covering her head. Kyle went completely still for a second. Which direction? He asked, his voice so low the man had to lean in to hear. The servant pointed. Kyle said nothing more. He left the castle through the gate the man had indicated, and outside, paused for a moment, letting instinct do what it knew how to do. Nina's scent was something he had learned to recognize against his will. Now he followed it without hesitation. The transformation happened beyond the walls, where no one would see. The King of Varenne disappeared for a few moments, and what moved through the forest in his place was not a man. It was something bigger, faster, more dangerous. A wolf. The trail was clear. The cabin stood apart from the village, among trees that enclosed the space so tightly it wasn't visible from the road. Two men stood outside when Kyle arrived, and there was no warning, only presence. The first one looked and froze. The second didn't even finish the sentence he had been saying, because what emerged from the darkness was not an ordinary animal. It was too large, too silent. Its eyes glowed with a shade neither of them could explain. The wolf stepped forward, and that was enough. Both men stepped back at the same time, stumbling, pure terror replacing whatever courage they thought they had. Please. One of them tried, but the words didn't fully come out. Kyle didn't need to growl. The threat was already there. He passed them as if they didn't exist. And then he heard it. A voice. Low, repeated, barely there. My son. My son. The world seemed to freeze for a moment. The wolf entered. Nina was in the corner of the room, tied up, her face pale and her eyes half closed, lost in something that wouldn't let her mind stay steady. The herbs Agnes had used were strong. For a second, he didn't move. Then his breathing changed. His body shifted. Bones adjusted with a sharp crack. The massive form began to shrink, the fur vanishing as if it had never existed, until, in place of the creature, there was only a man, still breathing heavily, still carrying in his gaze something that hadn't fully gone away. Naked. Immediately, one of the royal guards who had arrived outside, following the trail, entered without a word, and extended a cloak. Kyle grabbed the fabric with a swift movement, wrapping it around his waist and shoulders without even looking at the man. The two kidnappers could barely even lift their heads now. One of them was visibly shaking. The other kept his eyes fixed on the ground, as if looking directly at Kyle would be the worst choice he could make that night. They had seen. They understood. And they knew exactly what it meant. Kyle turned to them slowly. They dropped to their knees before he even said a word. We just brought her here. It's what we were told to do. That's all. I swear, one of them said, his voice breaking. Who paid for this? Kyle asked. The two men looked at each other for a second. The princess, the other answered more quietly. Princess Agnes. Kyle remained silent for a moment, looking at the two men kneeling in front of him. They weren't shifters. They were ordinary men who had accepted money without fully understanding what they were getting into. That didn't make them innocent, but there was a difference between punishment and execution, and he still had enough clarity to recognize that. Take them, he said to the guards, without taking his eyes off the two men. Neither of them leaves until I decide what to do. Then he turned and went to Nina. He knelt beside her, untied the ropes with more care than the fury inside him suggested, and tried to speak to her. But Nina remained in the same state, her eyes unfocused, her voice repeating those same words over and over. My son. My son. Kale looked at her for a moment. Then he picked her up and carried her out of the cabin toward the castle. She was too light. That bothered him in a way he hadn't expected. Back at the castle, Kale took Nina straight to his chambers. Not the servants' quarters. His. He summoned the healer without explaining more than necessary. Herbs, forced inhalation. She needed an antidote, and she needed it fast. And stood by the door while the woman worked, arms crossed, jaw tight, watching Nina lying on the bed with that unfocused expression he wanted gone. Then he went to find Agnes. The princess was in her chambers when he arrived, and the look on her face when she opened the door said she had not expected to see him so soon. Your Majesty, she said, composing her smile quickly. I was... Don't lie. He stepped in without being invited. The door slammed shut behind him. Agnes fell silent. The men confessed, Kyle said, moving further into the room. There's no point in denying it. Her smile vanished. She's a servant, Agnes said, trying to maintain control. Someone of no importance in this castle. I was only... She is the mother of my child, and she is my mate. The words landed like a blow. Agnes blinked, genuinely stunned. I didn't know, she said, and this time it was true. Kyle watched her for a moment. She tried to explain. He didn't allow it. In just a few steps, he was in front of her. Agnes stepped back until her back hit the wall. You crossed a line that cannot be forgiven, he said, low and controlled. The air in the room grew heavy. I could kill you. She held her breath. But that would be too easy. His gaze shifted, no longer cold, but calculated. As of today, you are no longer a princess. The silence that followed was brutal. Agnes took a second to understand. You can't, she whispered. I can, he replied, without raising his voice. And I will. He took a step back, as if he were already finished. Your title will be revoked before the court. Your name will be removed from any line of succession. You will have no right to representation, influence, or political voice. Her breathing began to falter. Your father will be informed. Not as a request, as a decree. Her eyes filled with a fear that had not been there before. You will leave this castle today, Kale continued. She stepped forward, desperate. Kale, you can't do this to me. I didn't know, I swear. He cut her off with a look, and she stopped. I already have. Silence fell heavily between them. He turned to leave. Paused at the door, without looking back. And be grateful she's alive. Then he left. Kyle walked out without waiting for a response. In the corridor, he stopped for a second and let the air leave his lungs slowly. There was too much happening inside him at once, and none of it was willing to wait its turn. But there was one thing that had to come before everything else. He returned to his chambers. The healer was finishing when he entered. She gave a quick bow and left without saying more than necessary. The effect of the herbs was fading. She needed rest. Kyle stood near the door for a moment. Marin had arrived while he was with Agnes and was seated beside the bed, Ethan in her arms. The boy had finally given in to exhaustion and was sleeping, his face buried against his grandmother's shoulder with that complete surrender babies have when they feel safe. His grandmother looked at him when he entered, but said nothing. Kyle approached the bed slowly and sat on the edge, with the baby still in Marin's arms, looking at Nina. Her breathing had changed, steadier now, deeper. Her face was still pale, but there was something different, as if her body were finally finding its way back. He stayed there, waiting. Nina opened her eyes slowly. The ceiling was stone, high, with dark beams and low-burning torches casting a soft yellow light. Ethan. His name rose before anything else, with an urgency that made her body try to sit up before she was ready. Slowly. The voice came from her right. Nina turned her head. Cale was sitting in a chair beside the bed, his gaze fixed on her, and in his arms, sleeping with that small, complete seriousness Nina knew by heart, was Ethan, her son, alive, breathing. His face buried against his father's shoulder with a trust that made something inside Nina tighten in a way she wasn't prepared to feel. A tear slipped down her cheek. Kyle watched her in silence for a moment. "He's fine," he said, his voice low so as not to wake the boy. "He stayed with my grandmother while I went to you." Nina nodded, but she couldn't take her eyes off Ethan. The silence that followed was heavy with everything that still needed to be said, and neither of them knew how to begin. Cale spoke first. "You lied to me." It wasn't an accusation. It was a statement. But the weight was the same. Nina closed her eyes for a second. "Yes. I missed the birth of my own son." His voice didn't rise, but there was something in it harder to hear than shouting. "I didn't know he existed. I didn't know you were..." "You never would have believed me." Nina opened her eyes and met his gaze directly, and there was pain there she didn't try to hide. "You looked at me that morning with that expression and told me to leave, without hesitation, without letting me finish a sentence." Her voice faltered slightly before she continued. "If I had come back to tell you I was pregnant, what would you have thought?" Cale fell silent. He looked down at Ethan, who was still sleeping with that serene indifference. He watched his son for a few seconds before speaking again. "I was too proud." His voice was different this time, lower, deeper. "I should have listened to you that morning. I should have..." He stopped. "I'm sorry for that." Nina felt another tear slide down her face and didn't wipe it away. "That day, it hit me like a blow of fate." He took a slow breath, looking away for a moment. "I always knew my position attracted interest, desire, ambition." "I never put anything in your drink," Nina cut in. "That night I was just cleaning the corridor. That's exactly what I told you that morning." "I know that now." "How?" she asked. Kyle looked at her for a second. "Because I learned the difference between what Agnes is and what you are." Silence returned, but it was different this time. Less heavy. "You are my mate, Nina," he said, his voice low. "Even if you haven't fully understood it yet. Because you're human." Nina went still. Her heart skipped a beat. Cale closed his eyes, tilting his head back, tightening his jaw, as if trying to contain something bigger than himself. "Do you have any idea how I felt?" he murmured. "I didn't know you, but I recognized you. And when I believed you had deceived me..." He opened his eyes. "And there was pain there. It destroyed me from the inside in a way I didn't expect. After that," he continued, colder now, "I started believing they were all the same. That anyone who came near me wanted something. That wasn't me. If not even my own mate truly wanted me, why would anyone else? I..." She blinked. "I don't know what that means." "It means there is a bond between us," he said, with a patience she had never seen in him before. "It's not something you choose or something you can simply ignore. It explains what you felt that first night, even without knowing me. It explains why I could never stop noticing your presence in this castle. I can sense you from a distance. Nina looked at him, not knowing what to say. Mate. The word echoed inside her in a strange way, like something she didn't recognize by name, but recognized by feeling. Kale stood slowly, Ethan still in his arms, and approached the bed. He placed the boy in Nina's arms with a care she hadn't expected from those hands, and when Ethan shifted slightly as he changed arms, both of them froze completely. The boy sighed, adjusted his face, and kept sleeping. Nina let out a slow breath. Kale stood there for a moment, looking at both of them. He leaned down slowly and wrapped his arms around them, embracing Nina and Ethan together. Nina felt his warmth, the weight of that embrace, and closed her eyes for a moment. Kale stayed like that for a few seconds before pulling back slightly and pressing his lips to her forehead, gentle. When he pulled away, Nina looked at him. "I've sent everyone away," he said. "The nobles, the suitors, everyone who had come because of my grandmother's decision." A pause. "I don't need to look for an heir anymore." He looked at Ethan. "I've already found my son." Then he looked at her. "And I've already found my queen." Nina opened her mouth. "That's not possible," she said, her voice lacking any firmness, like someone saying something they didn't fully believe, but needed to say anyway. "I'm a servant. I don't know how to be a queen. And... you're not a servant anymore." Kyle. His name came out for the first time without the title, and they both noticed at the same time. Nina felt heat rise to her face and continued, "I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to behave in front of the court. I don't know what's expected of..." "But you need to understand my position," he interrupted. "I am an Alpha King, and I have a child with you." The words fell heavily between them. "There is no such thing as a servant's place beside me." The silence thickened. "I will only not do this," he continued, direct, without looking away, "if you truly do not want me." Nina looked at him for a long moment. "I want you," she said, with an honesty she didn't try to hide. "But I'm afraid I won't know how." "That," he said, "you will learn with time." The day of the announcement arrived under a clear sky over the castle of Varin. The entire kingdom had been summoned to the great courtyard. Nobles, guards, servants, villagers who had arrived since dawn, curious and restless with the news that the Alpha King had something to declare. The courtyard was full. Nina stood beside Kale, looking at that crowd with her heart pounding in her throat from sheer nerves. She wore different clothes that morning, not an apron. A dress, made of fabric she had never touched before. Kale stood beside her with Ethan in his arms, the boy awake now, watching the crowd with that same serious, curious expression Nina had learned to recognize as Kale's. When Kale began to speak, the courtyard fell silent at once. He said he no longer needed to search for an heir. That fate had reserved something better for him. He lifted Ethan slightly in his arms and presented the boy to the kingdom. His son. His blood. His successor. A murmur spread through the crowd. Then Kale looked at Nina and said he had also found the woman who would walk beside him. Nina felt the weight of hundreds of eyes fall on her at once, and there was a part of her that wanted to step back, to disappear, that recognized that instinct to become invisible she had cultivated her entire life. But there was another part, newer, less certain but present, that stayed where she was. Kale handed Ethan to his grandmother and turned to Nina. He extended his hand, and when she placed hers in it, he pulled her closer with a gentle firmness. The ritual was ancient. She had heard about it in the castle corridors, the way alphas sealed their bonds before the kingdom. It wasn't just an announcement. It was a mark. something that could not be undone once done. Kale leaned down and his lips found her neck. And then came the bite, soft but burning for a second before warming in a way Nina hadn't expected, spreading through her like something fitting into a place that had been empty without her knowing. The crowd fell completely silent for a moment. Then came the sound. Applause. Voices. Nina kept her hand on her neck for a second, feeling the warmth there. Kyle was looking at her. "Are you all right?" he asked, low enough for only her to hear. Nina lowered her hand and looked back at him. "I'm trying to figure that out," she said honestly, sometime later. In the gardens of the castle of Varennes, on a sunny afternoon, Ethan ran across the grass. He chased something, laughing, a butterfly. Nina and Kale stood side by side watching. Nearby, in a chair placed in the garden especially for her, Marin Draven watched the scene with a smile Nina had learned to recognize. It wasn't the smile of someone satisfied with the outcome of a plan. It was something simpler than that. The old shifter queen looked at Ethan for a moment. "You know," she said, in that calm voice that carried decades of unspoken things, "I had lost hope of seeing this garden like this again." Kale glanced at her. "I knew you hadn't lost hope at all," he said. "What you had lost was patience." Marin raised an eyebrow. Nina let out a small laugh. On the grass, Ethan suddenly stopped running, turned back, and pointed at his parents with a seriousness that didn't match his size. He said something none of them fully understood, but it sounded like an instruction. Marin let out a soft laugh. Kale watched his son for a moment. "He's going to be trouble," he said. "He's going to be a king," Marin replied without hesitation.